Also, I want to remind people that all through this show, we will be conducting our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific New York primary day exit poll. This hour, we will be asking for calls if you voted in either the primary for New York State Attorney General on the Democratic Party line or in the primary for New York Governor on the Republican Party line. We'd like to know who you voted for and what your rationale is for that. And we'll be taking calls on some of the other races later in the show. So right now, we're asking for calls on the New York Attorney General's race and the Governor's race, and we will get your calls in just a moment. But now, WNYC's political reporting team, Bob Henley and Ozzie Pabra, join us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So if you're still undecided and you want to know more, Bob and Ozzie are going to help you figure it all out. So, Bob, let's first of all just start with a little bit of information. One of the marquee races today is the New York Attorney General's race. Who's running? And give us a sort of thumbnail sketch of who they are.
Well, I guess you have, of course, former federal prosecutor and trial attorney Sean Coffey, who's been kind of running an outside race against Albany. He is a major player as a campaign contributor, though, however, having spread lots of money around the country. Then you also have Westchester Assemblyman Richard Brodsky. He made his reputation as trying to tame the independent authorities. He has some union support. Then we have Nassau County District Attorney Kathleen Rice, who has won twice in what Nassau County, which was considered a Republican bastion. She's been kind of running on a law and order theme, distinguished herself early on by saying that as an act of conscience, she would not enforce the state's or not defend the state's current ban on same-sex marriages. Then you have former insurance superintendent Eric DiNallo, who worked under Elliot Spitzer as an assistant attorney general and is credited with actually using the obscure Martin Act to get some accountability from Wall Street while the federal government was going, scratching their head, going like, what's going on? And then also you have, of course, Eric Schneiderman, the state senator who is a longtime, he's been involved with everything from all the progressive causes. He's been positioning himself here as really the major force behind the repeal of the Rockefeller drug laws, which communities of color have felt really unfairly targeted individuals who were drug addicted and went with not with public health remedies, but with incarceration.
So
did I forget anybody?
Right. I think that's it, and we should remind our listeners that there is a candidate on the Republican
Party
line. He is the district attorney of Staten Island, support of Mayor Bloomberg, but he is not running in a primary, so we will not be talking about him so much today, although obviously in the coming weeks and months as we lead up to the general election, we will. Now, Ozzie, Bob just sort of gave the narratives that the candidates want. What have sort of emerged as the narratives of this attorney general campaign?
The narrative seem to be the Kathleen Rice, Eric DiNallo, and Sean Coffey narrative that the other two candidates, Richard Brodsky and Eric Schneiderman, are part of Albany and therefore can't be part of the team that reforms Albany. What Eric Schneiderman has tried to say is, look, I was a renegade and a rebel within Albany, which Richard Brodsky has also tried to say, is that they both have knowledge of Albany and its problems, but they were the loan agents that were really trying to change it. Schneiderman has said he is a progressive and that people that really believe in liberal causes, repealing the Rockefeller drug laws, changing the way the census information is taken into account for where prisoners are counted for census information, which helps draw district lines.
Now, that sounds kind of wonky, but actually it has everything to do with the balance of power in the state Senate, because in past years, prisoners have counted as population of upstate, which has given districts that have tended to vote Republican more representation. Or that's the argument.
And,
that
and
they
conversely,
should be
diminished the urban areas that these individuals primarily of color reside.
Right. So this is it sounds like one of those technical things. But in fact, it's sort of once you set the table, it kind of determines, you know, what you're going to eat.
Right. It's hugely important. So people that value those kind of issues have been rallying around Eric Schneiderman. And one of the themes that's been happening throughout the race is the notion that the head of the Democratic Party, Andrew Cuomo, favored one candidate, Kathleen Rice, for a number of different reasons and seemed to be against Eric Schneiderman. That's something that they've never acknowledged on the record, but there's plenty of reports about behind-the-scenes maneuvering. And what Eric Schneiderman was able to do is gather enough support from organized labor unions and activists to mount a credible candidacy to hold off Andrew Cuomo from actually making an endorsement. And so now the head of the party is actually not making an endorsement, and it's really a race that anyone can win.
Well, and this actually started way back at the convention that the Democrats had in Ryburg, where there was an expectation that there would be some kind of tableau moment where the current Attorney General Cuomo would get to endorse Rice. But what ended up happening was, even early on, she just didn't get the traction that she needed to get that kind of support. So they kind of endorse this Montessori, no one loses in our form of politics. Everyone can be on the ballot.
It's kind of the Incredibles school of superlative individuals. We're gonna take some calls now. I did want to just sort of mention, while we're talking about the, you know, sort of Eric Schneiderman is the insider narrative, I mean, the other sort of, you know, one of the narratives that has emerged that I've heard quite a bit is the fact that, you know, Kathleen Rice, who in many cases would seem to be the sort of perfect candidate, you know, a woman, a suburban woman, you know, someone who's a prosecutor, you know, tough. You can always argue as a prosecutor that you're not one of the guys. So on the one hand, she's had that going for her. But on the other hand, she was a Republican for many years, and a lot of the other candidates have pointed that out, and the fact that she didn't vote for many years, which is something that in a Democratic primary, I mean, who's voting today? The real diehards. So if the real diehards see that somebody didn't vote for all these years, it causes some kind of a cognitive dissonance, perhaps. But let's go to the phones. We are joined now in our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific New York Primary Day exit poll by Ruth from Queens. Hi, Ruth. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Okay. Hello.
So who'd you vote for today?
I voted for Kathleen Rice.
And what was it that caused you to want to vote for her?
Well, I got one of these calls from Eric Schneiderman, and he started off to say, as a Jewish member, and I hung up, and I was very insulted. I don't know what the rest of the message was, but I don't like calls like that. So then I was left with who was I going to vote for, so that's why I voted for Rice.
So it was something that Schneiderman said that you didn't like. Are there any things that appeal to you about Kathleen Rice?
Well, I guess because she's a woman, and I felt that women ought to be more active in politics and be represented more.
When did you get this call from Schneiderman?
When did I get it? Yesterday.
And the thing that I just said about the fact that she hadn't voted for many years of her life, that doesn't bother you?
No.
No. Bob?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is interesting here is that, in point of fact, New York State, for all its so-called progressiveness, has not had a woman in a major elected statewide office, whether it be controller, attorney general, or governor.
And it's, since Hillary Clinton.
Well, right. I mean, I'm talking about state office.
I mean, state office.
And that's
right.
that's a very special kind
Kristen
of politics.
Gillibrand, right.
But, I mean, in terms of state politics, which in terms of movement of jobs and contracts, there's been a glass ceiling. We've had a lieutenant governor, but not somebody who had access to levers of power. And Rice didn't use this so much. You know, you won't hear her say it on the stump, but it's clearly something that they're counting on. She's also counting on the fact that Nassau County is, you know, got a major amount of votes here. It's not inconsequential. So she believes, since she's been elected there twice, and the combination of the fact that she's a woman, can put together in a five-way field a winning strategy. We'll see.
Let's take another call. Rachel from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you? I was all set to vote for Schneiderman when I was walking over to the polling site, and then I was also curious about Coffey, so I stopped to talk to his rep just to find out why Al Franken endorsed him. Thought that was kind of funny. All the rep for Coffey could tell me was that he had met him about 20 years ago, and he was sitting out there for Coffey, so I did, in fact, vote for Schneiderman.
And is there something you liked about Schneiderman?
I liked his endorsements. I like Carolyn Maloney a lot, so I respect her opinion. I have been listening to this show, and I know he's been positioning himself toward the liberal side. So that was really the main reason. And I didn't like, I can't remember his name now.
And what about Kathleen Rice? Ruth from Queens just telling us that she liked the idea that there was a woman running. Did that sway you at all?
You know what? I did like the fact that there was a woman running. I did hear about that she hadn't voted for a while. Now that I hear what the previous caller said about the Schneiderman calling and referencing a Jewish voter, I also get a little bit upset. I got quite a few Lashana Tova email messages from different political people last week, and I was wondering when my happy Eid message was going to come. I thought that was weird.
All right. And I should say that we haven't confirmed what the phone message was that upset Ruth. We will try to get that during the day. We will post it on our new political website. It's a free country. If we can get the audio from that, if anybody has it on their voice message machines, you should let us know. We'll try to track that down. But thank you, Rachel, for your call. Let's take one more call on the Attorney General's race before we talk about some other races. Alan from Brooklyn. Hi.
Good morning. How are you? I'm voting for Brodsky. I voted at number one on my voting machine at 7 this morning. And it worked.
Good.
My reason for voting for Brodsky is basically he's the strongest environmental candidate. He's been a great defender of clean water and clean air and opponents of dangerous nuclear energy. He has the endorsement of Pete Seeger. And although I did support Obama and probably will support him again, I think Brodsky is an example of one of the older politicians who's actually learned something over the time he's been gaining in years. And I think we need to have a little more respect for the fact that younger people may have a lot of energy and creativity, but may not have as much of a background as they need to really know how to handle government properly. And I think he's the strongest candidate overall.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Alan, for your call. Bob and Ozzy, we're going to need to wrap up this segment, but we haven't talked at all about the governor's race. So Ozzy, big story, Carl Paladino suddenly threatening
he's
to
on
disrupt
the, rise,
the state Republican Party. What's going on there?
So there is Carl Paladino, businessman from upstate, is running this very angry outsider campaign against a quasi-establishment candidate, Rick Lazio, the former congressman from Long Island, who very famously ran against Hillary Clinton 10 years ago. Lazio was opposed by the leadership of the Republican Party. He won at the state convention, and now he's sort of begrudgingly the party's designee at the moment. But Carl Paladino has been angling himself as a Tea Party supporter, running against the outside, saying he'll take a bat to Albany. And it's really a matter of, are voters angry enough to really overthrow what the insider Republican leadership has been supporting?
And Bob, you know, when I saw Lazio at the beginning of this campaign, when he announced his campaign, I took a look at him and his hair is gray. He seems to have sort of attained some of the gravitas that he lacked when he ran against Hillary Clinton. You know, he's somebody who has run for statewide office before. He's worked in the financial industry. He seemed like he would be a strong candidate, but it has just – his campaign just hasn't gained traction. Why?
I think that there is this grassroots ideological explosion of energy throughout the state on the right. It's analogous to me to what happened with President Obama going up against – Senator Clinton. It would seem logical that Senator Clinton, her husband, presiding over significant prosperity, competent, capable, well-respected in the Senate, and yet here we have President Obama. And so there seems to be this momentum at the grassroots. And when you have the small participation that's going on, where the only people that are engaged are people that have this level of passion, it amplifies their oomph. And so we're seeing them. And Lazio actually ran a reactive campaign. I would submit to you that the whole business of singling out Park 51 and the Islamic Cultural Center and mosque, he tried to run against that. It showed a kind of desperation. There was always a quiet desperation.
Yeah.
He was never able to raise any money.
It's interesting that you say that, because when he got into the race against Hillary Clinton, he seemed so attractive because he'd been this centrist congressman from Long Island and sort of had a lot of, he had broad appeal. He had credentials as an environmentalist. He had, you know, some sort of women's rights connections. And yet when he ran against Hillary Clinton, he did the same thing as a campaigner, which is that he, you know, there was the bombing in Yemen of the boat, and there was a Republican Party I believe it was a telephone call that all but accused Hillary Clinton of having been responsible for that. And it was so over the top that sort of whatever Rick Lazio's history as a member of Congress, sort of that's what people remember.
Well, Lazio's even being challenged on the conservative ballot line today by an upstate conservative activist. So he couldn't catch a break anywhere.
And it will be very interesting to see who sort of, you know, when the dust clears, how those races end up. Ozzie, very quickly, what else are people voting for today?
There are a number of state legislative races, Pedro Espada being one of them. There's a race out in Queens, Shirley Huntley, who voted against same-sex marriage. So there's a lot of races up and down the ballot.
And Congress, too.
And there's a number of state legislative races where the issue of charter schools is being raised as a
Bill Perkins uptown.
Bill Perkins and involvement at Montgomery's race in Brooklyn.
Right.
So we will see how that all falls out. Okay, thanks to you
both.
Get back to work. You can be following Bob and Ozzie's reporting all day on itsafreecountry.org. And tonight, Amy Eddings will be hosting our primary day coverage, and Bob will be at Lazio's headquarters. Ozzie will be at Rangel's headquarters, and there will be lots of news coming in. That begins tonight at 9. When we come back, we'll speak to Charles Blow about the ballots today and what they look like and what kind of visual information they convey. That and more of your calls after this.